Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, daspitlaw.com. Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, daspitlaw.com. If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
97.5 and 92.5. Featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the Kings of Houston Sports Radio, John and Lance.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ, here with you for the next 3 hours on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And we got Super Bowl to talk about. We also got Texans to talk about. What a big weekend for the Texans. Love what they did. Love what they did with Bobby Slowick. We'll talk about that in the next segment. But we got to start with the Super Bowl. And Bradbury admitted it, Lance. He admitted that he held. But I'm with Greg Olsen. You don't make that call in that situation.
Greg Olsen was, I was thinking about this. I think if Greg Olsen, a former player, hadn't talked so much about that being a hard call to make, there'd be a lot of people who wouldn't have made as big a deal about it. Because you can see it. He does tug at him out of the break.
Just a slight tug.
But the throw was like, you know, beyond him, it threw off the rhythm too. Selfishly, I wanted to see a field goal and then see if Jalen Hurts could get down. That would have been good drama.
Yep.
And if the Eagles had gone in for the touchdown, but stupid McKinnon had to be smart and slide right before the touchdown. And basically, it just gave such an anti. It was a really good game, and there was just such an anticlimactic ending. I've never seen anything like that, where you have a Super Bowl ended by just a bunch of kneel downs waiting for a field goal. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, especially with you're right, a good game like that. It just didn't seem like
it. Just kind of ruined it ruined the game. It didn't make it not the right. Here's the deal, and you probably feel the same way. It was technically the right call. It just kind of ruined the game.
Yeah,
and the flow of the game, the vibe of the game, and you hate to see plays. The same way with, the Eric Gordon foul that we saw formerly of the Rockets. You may remember him, was kind of a team leader, kind of a mentor, if you will, of young Rockets, Eric Gordon. I don't know that I would have called that penalty at that spot in the game. I think there's just certain spots where you let them play a little bit. But football's a little bit different. I wonder if he really wanted Jalen Hurts to win or the Eagles. Like, you do wonder about the bias. I think some announcers will have friends on certain teams where they want them to win, but you can't let that out on the broadcast. I wonder if maybe Greg Olsen was like us and just wanted to see this come down to, all right, let's see what Jalen Hurts can do in the last minute.
He probably did.
50 seconds.
Probably
That's
did.
Probably
it,
what it,
it
was.
It ruined
it. Would have been great drama.
Oh, it would have been awesome drama. It would have been awesome to see if Jalen could do it, if he would have come up short.
Does Elliott end up trying to kick a field goal that he misses, like, what kind of drama would we have had? Instead, we just got kind of robbed of it.
Yep. And it was a boring ending. It turned out that the Kansas City Chiefs were just better in the second half.
Every drive they scored on.
I was thinking about this. Philadelphia now. It was almost identical to the World Series. They win 2 out of the first 3 games, and then the Astros just kick their ass in the second half of the series. And it was the same thing with the Kansas City Chiefs. The Eagles won that first half dominantly. Mm-hmm. They were dominant in that first half. The Chiefs weren't even on the field. If not for that fumble by Jalen Hurts and the touchdown, they're down 17 at the half.
They may have gone down and scored again.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts and the Eagles.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So as dominant as they were early in that football game, they couldn't stop them in the second half. And, it just goes to – I'm listening to Max Kellerman, even before this game, the superiority and how much just lathering up he does of Patrick Mahomes. But let's face it, this would be a Terrell Davis, Gale Sayers kind of thing. If he doesn't play another game, Patrick Mahomes is a Hall of Famer.
Probably so.
I mean, honestly, even though it's a short career, he's dominated with two MVPs, two Super Bowl MVPs, two Super Bowl wins. He's been fantastic. It's not even arguable. He's the best player in the NFL right now.
Three Super Bowls in 5 years.
Yeah.
He's been on the team 6 years, but the first year I don't count. I mean, he barely played the last game.
He's won two in 5 years. He's gotten to another one. He's the Astros. This is the Astros.
Yep.
This is the Astros.
The Eagles are the Astros. It is. It's 100%. The Chiefs are the Astros. I mean, yeah, the Chiefs are the Astros, 100%.
Yeah.
So it's an incredible run for Pat. That's why, to me, this was more meaningful for Mahomes than Hurts. You know, that question came up on a TV show, I think, or maybe RJ asked it. It was on ESPN. Who is it more meaningful? Well,
yeah,
it's meaningful for both guys in very different ways. But for Pat Mahomes, it put him on. Had he lost this, he's a guy who, he lost he had a loss in the regular season to the Bengals, a loss to the Bills in the regular season. Of course he had wins too, but and then he loses, to Jalen Hurts, and you could have had little things you would have picked at with, yeah, but he couldn't get over the top. He's only won one of. That's what ultimately dooms LeBron in conversations about the Jordan thing, is people just go to the losing record in the finals. People ultimately will poke at that. Well, if Pat Mahomes had lost this, all of a sudden he's 1-2. It looks way different than 2-1. It looks way different. It's like a swing game 3 in a baseball series.
Yep.
Or basketball series when it's best of 7. Man, that third game is a big one, because to be up 2-1 instead of down 1-2, it just has a different feel to it. And Pat Mahomes, he's winning MVPs too. He was MVP of the season, MVP of the Super Bowl. And once again, to do what he did on a high ankle sprain, and I know people were trying to diminish it yesterday that I saw on my timeline. Hey, he may be better than he was a couple weeks ago, but he was still in a lot of pain. At the end of that first half, I don't know if they still shoot people up or anything. The assumption is you do. I don't know what you do. You saw the look on his face on the bench where he was in so much pain when he got tackled from behind, got his leg grabbed and tackled.
Oh, yeah.
That was real. He was really in a lot of pain. Okay. He wasn't doing it for the cameras.
So I didn't see. Did you see what the line was? The halftime line was second half line.
Mm-hmm.
What was it?
It was Chiefs 3.5.
Okay, so this is a pick'em game or a 1-point game. They're down 10, and it was only Chiefs 3.5. The main reason was we didn't know how Patrick Mahomes was going to come out in the second half. So you can't put that number. Should have been 7 or 8. That number should have been Chiefs 7 or 8. If you're gonna say that these teams are that evenly matched, that number should have been if. But when the Eagles dominated
the first half, though.
Yeah, I know, but that's still, when you're talking about two teams that are actually even, look what happened. Who dominated the second half? Because they're the Chiefs and they got Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. But I think that had to have been a huge. When the Eagles are up 10 and you don't know whether or not Patrick Mahomes, first of all, can come back, let alone run around like he did, you got to believe. That's why it was only 3.5 right there. Him coming out and playing that game the way that he did in that second half puts him to another level. When you're playing on a high ankle sprain like that and you're injured again in that game, you could tell he was really injured. That wasn't look at me. He's on the sideline wincing in pain.
He's hurt. He's hurt. And for him to, run like he did for that long run he had there in the fourth quarter, immediately I'm like, okay, you can tape up. So a high ankle sprain, there's different tape jobs they can do to give it more stability, but you still don't typically, you have stability, you don't have mobility. Like, you can't flex and bend your ankle. So for him to run like that, and maybe he got shot up with painkillers, I, I don't know what he did. I just know that Patrick Mahomes is a tough son of a buck.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I know. And I know that this is like legendary, what he's doing out there in the postseason. For him to go 326 and all those touchdowns last week or 2 weeks ago, for him to win the Super Bowl, you know, down and look like they weren't doing anything, and then to score every drive in the second half. I mean, yeah, you're right. If it was a Walter Payton situation and he never played again, he's 100% in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. 100%. What a player. What the dude has been,
and
just
the competitive
spectacular
spirit and the toughness. And, you know, we live in a generation now where a lot of guys are finding ways, you know, to not play, unfortunately. And not that that would ever happen here in the postseason, or you would happen in any sport, you would hope. But Pat Mahomes is just a dog. I mean, he is just a dog. And that's who he's been. That's what he was at Texas Tech. It's just, you know, more turnovers. But you can see that personality. That's why you look for that mindset. And, you know, I'll bring it to
you
the Texas.
You can see that personality. But, listen, Cliff didn't get the most out of him. He obviously didn't.
No. And, well, he was kind of a wild child, too. He took a lot of chances. Guys grow. They learn to be better quarterbacks, too. I think Eric Bieniemy's done a really good job with them. I think Andy Reid has done a really good job with them. I think Pat Mahomes has done a really good job with himself. Like, sometimes the guys need credit for maturing as quarterbacks, for taking the coaching and things like that. And that's what he, you know, that's what he's done, is he's become the guy I watched at Texas Tech. Man, he would just make all these wild off-platform throws and take these wild chances. I mean, he'll still do some of that. He still has some of that, but he's learned to tame it. You know, Josh Allen has learned to tame it, but sometimes it pops out at inopportune times. And he's going to have to get that under control. Pat Mahomes has it more under control. He still has it in him. You still see it from time to time where he'll do something wild. But, man, he just – quarterbacks, it's not about how fast a fastball you throw. It's not about – there's at some point it's about gall, and it's about competitive nature, and it's about being able to calm yourself in pressure-packed moments, seeing the field. That's why quarterback, there's no perfect formula for her finding a good quarterback. You know why? Because a lot of it is intangibles. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. You can't really put grades on intangibles. Like, Joe Burrow's got intangibles.
Yeah.
Because he does. I mean, Joe Burrow's got intangibles. Mahomes does. I think Allen does. Like, there's certain things that these guys have, whether it's the swagger, the confidence, the quick processing. Joe Montana had it. You know, and I try to look at the quarterback class. I don't know that there's intangibles for C.J. Stroud. Honestly, when I think about it, I don't know that I ever really saw intangibles. I saw one really good game. I do think there's some intangibles for Bryce Young. I really do. Like, I don't think there is for Levis. I think there is some for Hendon Hooker. Stetson's got some, but, you know, he's a tiny little guy, tiny little felon. I don't even think his teammates like him from what I've heard. And then who's the other one? There's one other one. Oh, Richardson. I don't know I just don't know about Anthony Richardson. So, you know, if you don't, this is an interesting stat, John. People talk about tanking. Only just tank and draft an elite quarterback. Only three quarterbacks were drafted in the top three and won a Super Bowl for the team as a starter. Aikman, Bradshaw, Manning. That's it. All the talk about tanking.
Yeah.
And yet only three quarterbacks drafted in the top three and won a Super Bowl for the team as a starter. Aikman, 91-ish, 90-ish, 89-ish, something like that.
89, they won one game.
It was 89.
Well, his first year they won one game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The second year they were much better. They got Irvin and Emmitt Smith. Yeah. Terry Bradshaw, don't even know when, 70s sometime. And Peyton Manning was 98. Like,
that's it.
It didn't happen a lot. All this talk about tanking and yet, that's a pretty telling stat.
Get that quarter. Well, now teams that have tanked and had the number one overall pick have gone on to
win
Super Bowls. Not quarterbacks.
Not quarterbacks.
Right. So that'll tell you. Don't draft a quarterback. Okay. That'll tell you there. Right
here,
there.
Here
right
are the
now.
Quarterbacks with multiple Super Bowl wins: Bart Starr, Roger Staubach, Bob Greasy, Jim Plunkett, John Elway, Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, Pat Mahomes, Troy Aikman, Terry Bradshaw, Joe Montana, Tom Brady. It goes Brady 7, Montana, Bradshaw 4, Aikman 3. And Mahomes, none of these other guys are active. So Mahomes, after 5 years, has 2. For as long as 87 plays, he's got a shot.
Yep.
I think 87 is really important.
Yeah, I guess.
He's like Gronkowski-style important. Think about that, man.
Did you see his under-over catches was 7 in this game?
Yeah. You see his touchdowns were a half? I'm like, feels like it's going to definitely be over.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, he caught a touchdown.
Oh, that's right. He caught the touchdown.
Caught the first
touchdown. But, man, you want to talk about great play designs. Tony's touchdown and Moore's touchdown.
Same play, different sides.
Listen, because you know they're in man, they're overrunning that so that they can catch up on the other side.
You give them a stop. Speed look. You stop and come back. Like,
and nobody's
dead.
There.
You're dead. You have no chance.
Both.
The other guy has to be so aware he basically leaves his man.
Yes.
That's the only thing you could. You
and
have
then he sees him leave his man, and he's got that guy.
Yeah.
What a great design.
It really is.
That's why, can you play, I mean, against them from now on, can you play man inside the 5-yard line?
You know, it's once they saw it work the first time, they said, let's try it again. That's why they were laughing on the sideline. And I wonder if it's because the same play worked. But you think about this. Look who they did it with. Look what Andy Reid has done. You know, at some point, you think, like, I was given, who did I give? I gave the Detroit Lions a tight end. Like, I gave him either, in my mock draft, I gave him either Michael Mayer or Dalton Kincaid. I think I gave Michael Mayer, and they're like, oh, we already are good on offense. That's true, but look what Kansas City has done. They've got Sky Moore. They picked up Kadarius Toney, who is a problem guy now.
Yeah.
You need to know. He is a real problem here, but. It worked here for them. They got a big locker room, too. Andy can fade it. What does he care?
Yep.
If he needs to cut him, he'll cut him. They had Tyreek, and Tyreek was fine. You have Sky Moore they drafted. They added Juju Smith-Schuster, but they had to. I mean, they lost free agency. But they've been adding weapons, and you look at – they have Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Juju Smith-Schuster. They drafted Sky Moore. They added Kadarius Toney. That's their top four. Then they have Travis Kelce. They have Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They brought in Jerick McKinnon and drafted Isaiah Pacheco. They got all those dudes.
Yep.
So, like, Justin
Pacheco
Watson.
Is a seventh rounder.
Yeah.
Right? McKinnon was a cast-off, pretty much.
But he was a good player. He's always been known as
a good player. Good player.
That's an example of you can find running back.
I mean, none of them are, but he's turned them all into.
Well, Smith-Schuster
didn't work out.
Sky was a second rounder. I think Sky, this last year, was he first or second? Sky was early pick this year. He's a rookie. Kadarius was a former first-round pick who had trouble. Valdez-Scantling was a – he had no catches yesterday. I don't think Valdez-Scantling had a catch.
No.
It didn't matter.
No, he was thrown to, but he didn't – I don't think
Did he even play?
Yeah, he played. I saw him one time.
But that's what the thing – like, they can match up differently. They can throw different matchups at you depending on what your defense looks like. You can get beat by Juju Smith-Schuster one game. You're going to get beat by Travis Kelce every game. But is it going to be Smith-Schuster? Is it going to be Valdez-Scantling was the last game? He had two touchdowns game.
Right.
Sky, and then he runs two touchdown running plays for Sky Moore, who wasn't a big factor this year, and Kadarius Toney, who they picked up. Those are two of the touchdowns yesterday.
Yep.
I mean, Andy's Andy, and, you know, I don't know how much goes to Bienemy. I don't know how much goes to Andy. That's why I think a lot of people prefer to say both, because you know, you hate to take one out of the mix and only credit the other one, because they've been doing it together. All I know is whatever the Chiefs are doing, and Brett Veach has done a great job.
You know,
the general manager's done a really good job.
All right, when we come back, the Texans are doing a pretty good job with their coordinators. We'll talk about them on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
But we first, have coordinators?
Let's talk about your patio.
Texas Custom Patio, Stephen Shell. I'm going to see him today at 1 o'clock. He's coming over, and we're going to go through all the designs of the kitchen that they're building in my – the kitchen they're building in my on my patio. Now, had I had it done originally, I think the design would have been very, very similar. But I am interested to see what it would have looked like. But they're going to retrofit it into my patio. This is an example of what they can do. They can retrofit an outdoor kitchen into my patio. So if you have something already built, they can still build a kitchen out there. Of course, they can do swimming pools. And for a lot of people, they're taking their outdoor living space and saying, okay, I know that you bought your house like this, but let's go pool, let's go outdoor living space, let's go at the kitchen or maybe a fire pit, and you can have it all, and it looks unbelievable. You can finance it, you can pay for it, in cash, however you want to do it. But I can just tell you this: the workmanship, the quality, and the joy it's going to bring you is going to be second to none. It's going to be unbelievable. I sat and watched a big chunk of the Super Bowl, the big game yesterday. Outside watching on the patio, had my ribs and brisket out there, and then threw the football with snacks while we were watching the game. And that's just, and I'm on the patio, he's out in the yard. It's kind of fun stuff you can do. Make sure that you go to the website so you can see some of the before and afters and even the process of how it goes down. It is TexasCustomPatios.com. That's TexasCustomPatios.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Lamont put out a tweet. You know, the Fresh Prince standing in that empty room?
Yeah.
And it's like, and he said, Kyle Shanahan be like, where'd everybody go? Where is everybody?
And think about that.
But this is what happens when you have the kind of success. And listen, what did I say last week? I don't care what Bobby Slowick has done in his life. It doesn't matter to me. Even though I have no idea of his moral turpitude. No idea.
I don't know how that came in.
I don't know. I don't care. I didn't care. I wanted Bobby Slowick because I want from the Kyle Shanahan tree. Now you got both of those guys, the D'Amico Ryans, who D'Amico has had to have learned something from Kyle Shanahan. But you got Bobby Slowick, who learned the offensive side of the ball from Kyle Shanahan. And Gerard.
He's only been there 3 years on the offensive side since 19. He was actually a defensive assistant. And yeah. I was looking up
his
background.
They both started the same way. They started as defensive quality controls.
He and D'Amico? Was quality. No, Shanahan was offensive.
No, I'm talking about he and D'Amico started.
Oh, yeah, D'Amico did. Yeah. Slowick was quality control. Then he was defensive assistant. And then he was flipped to the offensive side. Bob Slowick has been was a football coach for years and years and coached in Canada and in college. And so his son is Bobby. This is Bobby Slowick,
yeah,
the son. And so he's only 34 and D'Amico's 35, or he's 35 and D'Amico's 34. Very young.
Yeah.
Very young. So over the weekend, we added Matt Burke, who is the defensive coordinator. And then you added Bobby Slowick, who was the passing game coordinator for San Francisco, which is
35. Slowick and Ross are 35. 35 years old.
Slowick and Ross.
Yeah, Ross is another addition to the staff. So he's added.
Which Ross?
The average age of Ryans, D'Amico Ryans, 38. Burke is 48. D'Amico's 38. Okay. Burke is 46. And Slowick and Ross.
Which Ross?
Is Bobby Slowick, Frank Ross, retained as special teams coordinator. He was retained as special teams coordinator. Okay. So Frank Ross is staying. So his average age right now of his staff, including D'Amico, is now 38 and a half years old, which is slightly older than Kyle Shanahan when he took over in San Francisco in 2017. His staff was 36. So,
you know, D'Amico made a comment about having a very diverse staff in age and racial makeup and experiences, things like that. Obviously, he knew. Well, I mean, he had an idea coming in what his staff was going to be. You don't go into an interview without knowing who your staff is going to be. Why do you think it wouldn't have been on D'Amico's radar probably for Cliff Kingsbury to come in? And do you think D'Amico was doing his due diligence with Cliff Kingsbury? You know, Slowick, he knows. I'm assuming that Slowick was kind of his first choice. That's what I'm assuming. I certainly don't know that. And D'Amico, to his credit, interviewed multiple people, which I think is important because you get a feel for what other people think and how other people do things. It makes you smarter. Do you think when they interviewed, is it just D'Amico interviewing a coordinator? Do you think Nick sits in? Like, is that Nick's business to?
I don't know that. I don't know. How they're going about that, or D'Amico just said, no, this is my hire, and I'm going to hire who I want to hire. I don't know.
It should be just D'Amico.
Unless he's like, come on, Nick, you can get in here, and maybe you got some questions.
Because that's not a bad thing to say. You're going to be working with them, like, here, I want to get your thoughts on this, too.
Right.
That's probably how it went down, but I wonder why they interviewed Cliff. The fan base got very excited. I was excited about Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Cliff Kingsbury's got a great offensive mind. Now, it's his teams have faded, okay? His teams faded in the Big 12. They faded in Arizona in the second half of the season. I think his defense is wear down because of Cliff's style. You know, he still has not adapted to, hey man, we gotta give our defense a break. The air raid never has and never will. So it's going to be a little bit more difficult in that sense. I think they made the right call. But DeMeco and Slowick have been together for years now in the San Francisco mm-hmm. State.
Yeah, no, they know.
He was more than
really
likely the big favorite. But you don't close any doors. If Cliff Kingsbury's back from Thailand with his hot girlfriend, then you interview Cliff Kingsbury. And you're right, you pick his brain. What's your boy in Indianapolis doing now? Picking brains, right? Mm-hmm.
He took that opportunity and they'll hire Shane Steichen today.
Yeah.
And that'll be that. And mm-hmm. I think they probably, I don't know this, I hadn't even talked about it for a long time. My guess is they settled on Steichen a while back, and he went and interviewed, you know, all these guys to find out how every team does everything.
No.
How do you practice? Oh, really? You practice like that? That's the one thing he did tell me was, man, he was finding out how other teams do stuff. He's like, man, I never even thought about some of the things that they're talking about.
That's great.
Some of the teams that are, and you find new ways. Like, the more people you talk to, the more... Dennis Lindsay told me one time the greatest thing he ever did was leaving the Rockets, and not for the reason you think. He got to learn under Carroll Dawson and Rudy T, then under Jeff Van Gundy, then he learned from Daryl Morey, then he learned from Popovich. He decided to take a chance and go out on his own with Popovich and R.C. Buford, and actually taught them some things from an analytics standpoint and player tracking and. He was like, they were kind of behind the times, actually, the Spurs at that time. And he said he was never more ready than after he had all those experiences where he learned. Ballard said the same thing, learning under Lovie Smith and Jerry Angelo, then getting to see John Dorsey, how the Green Bay way was, because he was with Green mm-hmm. Bay for years. Then Andy Reid, when he was in Chicago, he learned under Rod Marinelli, how to look for defensive players. He just said, and both of these guys have said, you learn from so many, you take in as many different ideas and philosophies as you can, and it makes you better. Mm-hmm. It just makes you more well-rounded. That's why I think some of the best coaches they don't have ego. Like, I get the sense DeMeco Ryans is not going to be an ego guy. He doesn't strike me as an ego guy. And when you're able to pull in ideas from other people and you're not trying to just say, this is the small group, like Bill Belichick, we know he's famous for, there's no... It's just me and Nick Caserio, and that's it. Or me and Pioli and Nick, Bill O'Brien. It's just this tight little group. When you operate like that, people are left out in the cold. Like,
and ideas are left out.
Yeah, ideas are left out. Most importantly, open the door and let other people talk a little bit and be a, you know, be a humble leader, but a confident leader.
That's right. Well, we'll open the door for you, 713-780-3776. You got thoughts on the penalty? You got thoughts on the game? You got thoughts about the coaching hires? Any thoughts that you got from the weekend? You're more than welcome to do that. Some Astros news as well. If we don't get you guys calling in, there's some revelations out there about what happened in Los Angeles during the 2017 World Series. We will talk about that on the other side. Right here on ESPN, or excuse me, not 2018 playoffs. Yeah, there was a lot of monkey business going on. So we'll talk about that on the other side. But right now, we'll talk about HRP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525. Don't know, what business you're in. Don't really care. It doesn't matter what business you're in. You're going to sell your widgets no matter what your widgets are. You're going to try to make as much money as you possibly can. You're going to try to do it as economically as you possibly can. You want to keep your costs down. You want to keep your productivity up. You want to focus on your product. You want to focus on selling your product. All of those things. Well, you need an HR and payroll company that is going to help you along the way, because they take care of all that stuff that you don't have to worry about, that you don't have to put the manpower into, and they put all of that into it. The technology, not only the manpower, but the technology is second to none. So when you see this, you get over to their office on the Beltway and see what they're doing. It's unbelievable. Well, they'll come to you. They'll customize a plan for you. They'll give you the best payroll and HR deal that they can possibly give you. Your business is different than everybody else's, so it's going to be different than everybody else's. So if you're looking for that payroll company with the technology that's second to none and the HR that's second to none, along with all of the Affordable Care Act that they do for you tax time, it's all at HRP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Oh, my gosh. It's so terrible. Did y'all see? There's a tweet with Jackson Mahomes. Patrick is sitting on a set doing with the NFL Network. And Jackson Mahomes goes behind him and he does a little selfie dance. Is there, honestly, more hateable in sports? You have to spend your life with Kyrie Irving or Jackson Mahomes.
It's really not close. It's Kyrie. Kyrie is so annoying, but I just feel like I would have some things in common with Kyrie. We could talk about some things. I can't. What am I going to do with Jackson Mahomes?
You saw this, right?
It's the worst.
It's, oh my God. And then somebody came up and said, hey. And he was like, sorry.
He's in the middle of doing a.
What a. I mean, I just don't like to judge people.
You know, he and his, obviously, 100%, Pat Mahomes had to have a talk with Jackson and Brittany, his wife. It's only in the playoffs that they've started popping back up and getting in people's timelines.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you're following them, it's been, but they have not been major factors this year. To their credit, they obviously have tried to not embarrass their husband/brother. But it's popped back up a little bit.
Yeah.
Although Jackson can't help himself. No. Jackson fundamentally, that's just how he is. Like, I don't, you know, that's just Pat Mahomes got the Pat Mahomes stuff and Jackson got the Jackson stuff.
There's nothing you can do about it. He is. Yeah. I don't want to say anything really ugly.
No, don't.
I don't. I just. Don't.
Like, whenever he tried to bash because they wouldn't seat him, they wouldn't give him a table when they were on a wait. He tried to bash the restaurant
and then
on Instagram, and they laid him out.
Oh, my gosh. That was a killing. That was brutal.
Dead body just on the ground.
So, just you saw this weekend. Apparently, Evan Drellich has put out. Can we get Drellich on the show? Can you try and get Drellich on the show? Promote his book.
Yeah, promote his book.
Yeah, he's been on before. He'll do the show. Apparently, Jock Peterson ran into a video room at Fenway Park where teammate Chase Utley and a Major League Baseball official were already sitting and said, "Hey, did you get his signs yet?" From the live broadcast feed. Another Red Sox source told Drellich that, here is an excerpt from, go ahead and I'm going to find this.
Okay.
Other excerpt.
Well, this is why
excerpt.
So Eric Layden, he told this story on the air before. Eric Layden, he lives in La Jolla now. Our friend who's from here and big Astros fan, he's an actor, Ozark, all that stuff, all the stuff he's been in. Anyway, he told me he was his son's in Little League, and he's playing Little League ball with a former baseball player who at the time was in the commissioner's office, who told him when he's like, "Hey, man, this is such bull crap that the Astros take all this." He goes, and the guy told him, who's in the commissioner's office, "I know. It's Yankees, it's Red Sox, it's Dodgers." And he goes, "It's Dodgers too?" "Yes, we have stuff on Dodgers too. Information on Dodgers, it just hasn't come out because there's been no whistleblower." He said, "If there's a whistleblower, it would come out on multiple teams." Well, this guy now is a general manager for a team in Major League Baseball, but he was in the commissioner's office and told Eric that Dodgers also were involved. Eric has said this publicly already, that this is a conversation he had with a guy who was in the commissioner's office saying, "Oh, yeah, we have stuff on Dodgers, too. Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, and more teams than that." But the Dodgers was the revelation. Like, the team that is clutching their pearls as hard as they are. He goes, oh, yeah, we've got something on them, too, but there's just no smoking gun.
An unidentified member of the Red Sox accuses the Dodgers of engaging in the same kind of subterfuge. The Dodgers have always been the thing that bothers me the most, said the member, because they're the biggest cheaters in the whole bleeping industry. They were doing it against us in the 18 World Series. They got caught by Major League Baseball, and Major League Baseball did nothing. That is a quote from someone in the Dodgers, and then he goes on to tell the Jock Peterson story, where Peterson runs in there. Did you get the signs yet? It's just... So the book
Let's
is called...
Let's see if ESPN does anything on this.
No, they won't do anything.
Why?
They won't do anything.
It's going to be in a book.
Yeah. No, they won't. They certainly will not do anything about this. Are you kidding? Evan Drellich? No, we're not doing this. It's called Winning Fixes Everything by Evan Drellich. Let's get him on. Let's get Evan Drellich on and talk about this book, because this is just... It just makes me so sick how hypocritical that organization has been. And especially, and they've been screaming from the fans want the title, the 17 title, when they were doing the same thing. But the Astros were more egregious. They were much worse. The Astros took it to another level. Just because the Astros might have been better at it doesn't mean that your guys weren't cheating with the same equipment. We're using the same feed, the same.
Look under the news. This is who's got it written about. Sports Kedar, which I don't even know what that is, Fansided, which is a fan site, NJ.com, which is the New Jersey online newspaper. That's it. Mm-hmm. There's like no sites talking about this. There's no reputable. It's in a book. It's an excerpt, maybe because there's not. It doesn't matter that there's no name behind it.
Yeah. So Brian McCann was on with the guys after the World Series. So here is Brian McCann is behind the set with these guys. I'm trying to find it. Here's my likes. Let me see if got it here. Yeah, it was Brian McCann talking to the crew on the Fox set after the Astros had won the World Series.
To Game 7, but you had a lot of visits tonight.
Yeah.
No,
I'm curious.
They're going to change rules in there with the feedback.
No, they need to change it.
But listen, you wanted to make sure you were connected with the calls. What?
Give it up.
There's a lot more going on. There's a lot more going
changing
on.
Changing signs.
Yeah.
All right. He's cryptic, you man. Were giving he thinks signs. Everyone's stealing his signs.
You were giving multiple signs with nobody on base. Yeah. So you were a little worried about them tipping signs, huh? Just tab
whatever.
It.
Whatever.
Hey. Okay, so back to D-Row.
So he didn't want to talk about it. So Brian McCann's old school baseball, it's like what happens inside the game stays inside the game. But you could hear it all right there. Harold Reynolds, all the baseball guys on the set, they knew what the deal was.
They know what the deal was. Here's the deal. And this was somebody tweeted this in the know in baseball, said, guys move to other teams. Guys share what's going on other teams. Everybody goes, and everybody in the league knows what's going on.
Right.
They can't stand Mike Fiers because Mike Fiers has been ostracized by everybody in the league.
Yeah.
Because Mike Fiers was a snit who went outside.
Broke the code.
He did. He broke the code of what was going on because it was going on everywhere. And because of what he did, the Astros organization took it and had to take it as the only ones when everybody knew. Oh, it was going on all over the place.
Now that the players, and you see more and more players are stepping out and speaking out for the Astros, it's because you couldn't do it at first because you would have caught bullets from all the angry Twitter fans and baseball writers and all that stuff. But once it's safer now, there's a lot more people who have come out and said, this has been going on all over the league. Now it's become common knowledge. It's just, I think Astros fans get a little pissed off with, it's really just Dodger fans primarily that piss Astro fans off, and now it's even worse because you know what we've already known. It was, I'll be honest, it was surprising when Eric Layden told me who the guy was, who he was, you know, who worked in the commissioner's office literally at that time, and their sons were together in Little League, and he told him, no, the Dodgers are one of the cheaters too. We've got stuff on them too. It'll eventually come out if somebody can, you know, speak out. But if you don't have a Fiers, Major League Baseball can't put it out and really don't want to put it out.
No. No,
the Astros stuff wouldn't have come out.
They didn't want Major League Baseball didn't want the Astros stuff. They didn't want any of the stuff.
They know
but once it came out, the Astros had to take it.
Well, yeah, They're the first one, and they had to take it. And baseball had to do that. The problem that we always had was that it's a known thing that it's happening multiple teams all over. And the fact that Jose Altuve has to be the scapegoat for all of this cheating, it's one of the lamest it's one of the lamest scapegoatings probably in the history of sports.
It really is.
It really is.
It really is. All right, when we come back, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence? You had to have learned something this weekend. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? 713-780-3776. It doesn't have, hey, I want to hear about your Super Bowl parties. I want to hear about your, I don't know what happened with you this weekend. With any, I want to hear, we need to hear something that you learned out of the ordinary, what you hadn't known before. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? What did you learn about insurance, Lance?
Well, I learned years ago that if you don't shop for your homeowner's insurance, you don't look for competitive rates, then you're just going to see your rates go up. They're not going to come down. When's the last time you saw a homeowner's rate? Have you ever seen your insurance company go, boy, what a great year for us. Didn't have as many claims. We're going to go ahead and knock your insurance down. That happens never. The only people who are dropping your insurance rate are ones who are competing for your business. And that's what TGS Insurance does, is they aggregate multiple A-rated insurance companies who oftentimes are the underwriters for some of the big companies. And they will compete for your job. They'll compete for your business. And what that means is you are going to get a fair rate without staying on the phone lines for hours and hours talking. All you have to do is pick up the phone once and text the word money to 232323. You're going to find out within 15 seconds that you can get a firm quote on your homeowner's insurance from an A-rated company. This is where you can put more of your money back in your pocket. Don't pay retail when you can pay wholesale by getting competitive rates by texting the word money to 232323.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3. I know you learned something. Something happened at a Super Bowl party. Something happened with your wife, your boss or what your job. Something happened with your girlfriend that you learned something this weekend. I'll start. I'm going to say this. What I learned this weekend, if you're going to put together a field for a huge, huge game, don't use the Texans model.
Boy, that became a huge story yesterday. Well, I mean, why wouldn't it?
You know what they did? They rolled it out like the Texans did and then rolled it back and put it out in the sun every day. It was the worst field we've ever seen for a Super Bowl.
It didn't take, and all the paint was a big issue. The painted logos, there was so much slipping on paint. Why are we doing painted logos?
And Olsen was making a point. You know, Greg Olsen, hey, this is only a 27-yard shot, but he's right on with that logo.
I want to ask you something. How many people are in the stands? Give me an idea.
80,000.
Okay, how many people are watching across?
200 million.
Okay. Across the universe?
Across the globe. They expected something like 200 million.
Okay.
Maybe more.
So for $80,000 people, we're painting the logos on. When every broadcast we see in every sport, they can literally superimpose the graphic on television.
Yeah.
You could literally have the graphic without painting it.
I know.
What are you doing? It could be a static graphic that stays there.
Paint it where the paint's dry already or something. I don't know. What a disastrous field that was. Disastrous. Embarrassing. Your league is embarrassing.
No.
That ain't happening in the XFL. I'll tell you that right now.
No, I'll tell you what that was. No. That was the Cardinals trying to cut corners.
Yeah.
Okay?
$800,000 they paid for that field. For 2 years, they grew the field. $800,000 that field cost.
That's terrible.
It was awful.
And, you know, also at the same time, put your, wear the right size spikes.
Well,
the Eagles did. The Chiefs didn't.
Well, they changed. Jalen Hurts had to change his.
Well, he changed quick, though.
Yeah.
He changed quick. Here's what I learned. I learned that Rihanna is pregnant.
You did learn that.
I saw that, and I'm like,
hey. And then she was grabbing.
I thought she just had a baby, and then she went.
No, she didn't do that.
Yeah.
Like,
and then she went. Did you see that move where she went to the fingers?
Didn't see that move.
Yeah, she did that.
I didn't see any of it.
Such a freshman in high school move. Such a dude move.
It's smell your fingers.
Yeah.
Remember I told Jeremy Foster that?
Yeah.
Let's get Reese in here. He's first up. What's up, Reese?
Hey, Lance stole mine, but I'll say that it's not fun watching Scottie Scheffler. We need somebody new. And Doc be the number one guy.
Oh, I disagree wholeartedly. I love
here comes Scottie Scheffler.
Oh, my God. Scottie Scheffler is awesome. Awesome, awesome. I love watching that guy play. I loved him dominating down the stretch. See how Nick Taylor fell away? Rahm fell away? Scottie Scheffler is the best in the business right now, Reese. You wrong for that. Tom. Tom, what's going on?
If I learned if you're with a woman and she's jealous of other women around you, she'll be all kinds of affectionate with you until the other women leave.
Oh.
Tom's always got things that really are helpful.
Yes, are helpful.
I'm being honest. Like, yeah. I live vicariously. I don't have these issues that Tom has, but it's interesting to hear them. Yeah, but of course. That's just
until the other women leave.
It's like,
hey, Hey, let's keep that going. I know the other girls are gone.
Just territory
let's
marking.
Let's keep that going.
Just peeing in a corner.
Yeah, she was.
And walking
off.
She was
peeing all
doing.
Over you, Tom.
Yeah. I didn't say that.
Well, that's what you just said.
I didn't say she was peeing all over you.
Well, that's marking that. Her territory.
But that in a sense.
Well,
like in the, not, you know.
Yeah.
Not actual
you
peeing
said
on.
That.
There's no secret
that's what
tapes.
You said.
There's no secret tapes of Tom.
Let's get Martin in here. Martin, what'd you learn this weekend?
Hey, I learned that that holding call at the end, even though I understand it, will never help the NFL gain more fans.
No. No, it won't. No,
if we had a great final minute of the game. Oh, man.
If it came down either way.
I mean, even if it's somebody making a great, Chris Jones making two sacks, like it could have been anything.
Anything. Anything but that. 713-780-3776.
And then Bradbury ruins it by saying, no, guys, I held. Can't you let people argue about it on Sports Talk?
Shut up, Bradbury. All Philadelphia hates you now because you just admitted it. Because
you know what he's trying to do? Oh, my God.
Did you see?
Bradbury was trying to keep Philadelphia from burning.
Oh, maybe.
That may have been a great humanitarian. He needs to be the humanitarian of the year.
It could be. It could absolutely be. Did you see this picture? The referee with the chief.
It's in red and white.
Red and white stripes.
And a Chiefs
Kansas
hat.
City Chiefs hat, Chiefs logo on the pocket.
Oh, no.
That's not the referee. 713-780-3776. John, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Yeah, I learned the NFL thanks to Rihanna grabbing her special area and sniffing her fingers and then turning around and spanning her farts is good, wholesome entertainment.
It is. Well,
see,
what was this? Did you see what the NFL put out there? National Fenty League? Did you see that?
Oh, that's her. That's her Fenty. That's her makeup. That's her company. She does for makeup. What
well,
do you
a
mean?
Lot of people thought it was fentanyl. Like,
No.
Like it's the National Fentanyl League.
No.
Is Fenty short for fentanyl?
No, it's Fenty Beauty. And I think Rihanna speaks for them.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Why.
But a lot of people took it like, nice job.
Oh, Rihanna's the founder.
Of Fenty?
Fenty Beauty? Yeah, Rihanna's the founder of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the NFL tweeted out National Fenty League.
Yeah, because
she
was performing.
But everybody was like, is that short for fentanyl? I don't know.
No, that's her
No,
plant.
I know that, but is fentanyl now called Fenty on the street?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you could easily just say that. That sounds like something you could say. It's probably not. This isn't Milo Hamilton coming up with nicknames for fentanyl. And a Fenty death, a Fenty. They're calling it like probably, you know, something like you call it something like ice or dagger or stab or, you know, juice. It'd be something like that. It's not going to be Fenty.
Fenty. I don't know.
It's Cokie and Fenty and Exy and Molly.
Fentanyl nicknames. I'm looking up fentanyl nicknames.
Juice.
So what is
ice.
It called on the street? A pace. China Girl, Chinatown, China White, Dance Fever, Goodfellas.
Fentanyl's not China
Beard,
White.
He-Man, Polson, and Tango and Cash.
See?
There is no, it's not Fenty.
It's not Fenty.
But everybody, a bunch of people on
Yeah, because they just went Milo Hamilton and went,
yeah.
Fenty.
Fenty.
And it's her makeup. It's her makeup brand, that's all.
Michael is next. What'd you learn this weekend, Michael?
Yes. Hello?
Yep.
Yes, I wanted to say something about the call on the game.
What did you learn this weekend in one sentence, Michael?
Hello?
Yeah, next. Michael doesn't know how to play the game. La raza, ¿qué pasó, mijo?
¿Qué pasó?
I learned that the best beer is not Coors Light or Miller Light. It's actually a Blue Moon.
Wow. Oh. Wow, you put your orange in it?
Well, I think they're all owned by the same. Did you see the Miller Lite and Coors Light commercial together? Yeah, they're all owned together now, and I believe Blue Moon is part of that, too.
I missed some of the commercials. I wasn't watching the commercials.
It's all part. You didn't watch them?
I watched some of them.
I watched some of them, too.
One of them was great. I got to remember which one it was.
You had Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad on the other. We'll do that. We'll do that on the other side. Mito. Hey, Mito. Hey.
Hey. I learned we got to be extra loving, and caring for the Philadelphia fans this year. They done lost the Super Bowl and the World Series.
How about that? In the same manner. Man. They've kicked ass in the first half. First half of the series against the Astros, they were up 2-1, and then they got their hiney handed to them. First half against the Chiefs, then they got their hiney handed to them. Hey, you got to finish, Philadelphia. All right, you got no staying power.
I got something I learned this weekend is that the company that whoever Jesus hired for his marketing agency, they've got some big money in the I see it on Twitter every other tweet Jesus is on the tweet.
Right.
But I've seen it on TV for a while, but they got Super Bowl money.
What?
Jesus PR group has Super Bowl money now.
Yeah.
Super Bowl ad money.
What did somebody said, Jesus out here throwing stacks?
Yeah.
You know, Jesus ain't throwing stacks, okay? But they spent a lot of money. This ad campaign, it wasn't only the Super Bowl. Jesus Gets Us was the entire NFL season. That was the entire NFL season that campaign ran. So, man, Jesus was there. Jesus, his marketing team is doing pretty good right now.
They've spent a lot of money.
Jimmy, what did you learn this weekend, Jimmy?
Hey, guys, I learned two things. I know y'all talk about the fentanyl thing, but according to Urban Dictionary, fenty is also another word for fentanyl. What I
want to
say is that the Mattress Mac curse is real in Philadelphia.
You damn right. The Mattress Mac curse is real.
Do we know that?
But Mac doesn't like betting on games. Remember?
Don't gamble. It could ruin your life. But if you do, University of Houston, if they win a national championship. He had a new one where he said he's draped up and dripped out. Have you seen that commercial? The new one Matt Schmack did with the basketball team?
Fentanyl. Is fenty another word for fentanyl? Street slang for fentanyl. By any name, fentanyl is a risky drug.
Yes. It doesn't matter. It's her beauty supply.
No, it's fetty, not fenty. Yeah. It's fetty. Fetty.
For what is? You mean fentanyl?
Fentanyl. Yeah, it's fetty apparently is the not fenty. Other Eric, what's up, Other Eric?
I learned that just because if you don't hear the vent fan or see the light on, it doesn't mean your mother-in-law is not on the toilet.
Oh my god.
That's something we never wanted to learn.
I can't believe that happened to somebody.
On Super Bowl weekend you learned this?
No vent fan and you don't want to turn the light off, it's gonna hurt your eyes in the middle of the night.
No. John, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
That Tubi Super Bowl commercial almost made me kick everybody out of my house because I thought somebody was on the remote.
Yeah, did you see that?
The Tubi, yeah.
Yeah, it looks real.
Look real. It did look real. Michael, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Greg Olsen and LeBron James are not for the rules when it hurts them and for it when it does. They don't want to... fair playing field.
Who does it? LeBron James and who?
Greg Olsen.
They don't want a fair playing field?
When Greg Olsen said it wasn't a penalty. Well, like you don't call it.
Yeah.
It's a penalty. You just said you don't call it there.
You don't call
it. But there are some things they let go. They let some holdings go. I mean, why that penalty's not let go. Let offensive holdings go.
The one earlier in the game where he's holding his arm and Smith-Schuster couldn't get around on the ball. When Smith-Schuster went... They showed right after that call, he was yelling at the officials and pounding his foot and going, "Where's the call? Where's the call?" Not a peep out of him on the on a penalty call. Right. Not a peep out of him.
Right.
David, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I learned, do not bet the under on the Puppy Bowl.
No.
On the Puppy Bowl, he said.
On the Puppy Bowl? Oh.
I didn't know the Puppy Bowl jumped off.
What about
like
on
that.
The Super Bowl? Never bet the under. Except unless Jared Goff is playing. That's the only time you bet the under on a Super Bowl now.
Man, I tell you what, that over is easy money.
Easy
yesterday.
Money.
Holy
easy
moly.
Money. Keith, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I learned that Melvin Gordon, practice squad for the Chiefs, is a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, good for him. God bless. I mean, so you got to get there somehow. Yeah. David Carr's got two Super Bowls, right?
He has one with the Giants. He has one.
One?
One with the Giants,
good,
yeah.
Good for him.
No,
he
wait.
Deserves it.
Yeah, he does. I think he does have one.
Sure not to?
No. Wait, I'm not sure he has any.
Oh, yeah.
Because
David Carr was on one.
He wasn't on the 7 team. He was in Carolina by then. Or he was with the Texans in 7 when they won. Well, it was 7-8, so it was 08. David Carr was with Carolina. He may have won one the second.
Yeah.
He
absolutely was on one of those teams.
Yeah,
on the
I think he won the second one.
Gary.
Yeah, but he wasn't practice squad.
So he could say
Melvin Gordon's on a practice squad flexing.
Get people ready for games, okay? Gary, what'd you learn this week in one sentence?
Man, I learned that working the Monday after Super Bowl for suckers, and guess what? I'm a sucker.
You're a sucker. Well, we're here too.
Yeah,
but I feel like we should be Super Bowl sports.
To, yeah. If you don't work the day of the Super Bowl, why are you in this business?
Yeah.
You know?
Kind of.
But
you're the one cheering the loudest to get off. For
I know.
If you do that, we're not going to have as many listeners.
I want a day off for it.
But you just said you're a sucker if you don't. You just said that you're supposed to be.
I don't want other people to be suckers. I mean, honestly, I'm for
the
people. I'm a man of the people, Lance.
Aren't we supposed to be
doing? I'm a man of the people.
But then they won't listen to our show.
Well, that's true. If nobody's going into work, nobody's going to listen. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to. Well, they might just get up just to hear us. Yeah, that ain't happening. Let's talk about. Listen, if you can't get up because you got a knee problem, where do you go, Lance?
Well, you go to QC Kinetics. And QC Kinetics is working with people who have issues with joint pain. And I'm talking about chronic pain. Wouldn't you love to get back to living a life that doesn't involve pain and pain and management the entire day, where it's just a dull pain that's in your body that you try to not think about because it's always with you? It can be almost a claustrophobic feeling where you're like, I can't get this to go away. Well, here's the thing. A lot of people end up turning to you know, pain medicine, which we know has its own concerns and issues, or they go with the shots, which will mitigate the pain for a short period of time, and then it comes back. It's just a Band-Aid. And then you go to surgery, right? And surgery is gonna have the downtime, and in some cases, it's going to limit, ultimately, your mobility. When you look at the all-natural biological therapies, the body's healing power, and what QC Kinetics is able to do using that, and getting your joints, the tissue in your joints to regenerate or to become restored, that is amazing. That's why so many people get such great benefits when it comes to pain reduction, chronic pain reduction in their joints, whether it's hip, back, shoulder, knee. It really doesn't matter. They're going to be able to reduce the pain for you in most cases. And it's truly amazing what they're able to do. And yet, you know, all they're doing is taking what the body does and they're just elevating it. And you are going to see the results. Get back to being the real you. Get your mobility back. Get outside this spring and enjoy life again. It's QCKinetics.com. Location opening up in Sugar Land. QC Kinetics, 713-913-5285.
ESPN 97.5.